come to order, subcommittee meeting. Welcome, gentlemen. And Mr. Frederick, I think we left off with you, so perhaps we'll start with you and then let's go ahead.
Carl Frederick, Governor's Task Force, and with me as technical consultant, Mr. Charles Gill, President of the State Ax Insurance Company Corporation.
I wanted to ask both of you, just as we get started, whether or not the essence of this bill and the changes that we find in the bill relative to SAFE, whether those had proceeded from SAFE to the task force's recommendations from SAFE, or whether the task force had determined that it wanted to achieve these changes and then ask SAFE to respond to its determination.
Okay, my recollection of the particular meeting, which was quite late, Mr. Montgomery suggested that this be done.
And he is at that point was on the board of SAFE.
Yeah.
The chairman of the board.
On the board.
Was he chairman at that point?
No, he's not chairman.
Isn't he not chairman?
No.
Who's
Mr.
Newberry?
Mr.
Lynn Newberry.
Newberry.
Oh, Newberry is the chairman.
I'm sorry.
Now, I could not tell you. I've never talked to him about it. Whether or not SAFE suggested to him that these changes should be made or not.
But
this is not a new concept, and I did some research on my famous SAFE file. I'll show you something. And as long ago as 1973, there was some talk about doing away with this distinction between contributing employers and just DREs and this type of thing, and basically calling it insured and this type of thing. So this is not a new concept, whether it came from SAFE material, as far as I'm concerned.
Gill on the record with regard to the bill and the origins of the bill. What's your understanding?
Yes, the Mr. Fredericks is right as far as the timing. It was, I think, November, December when we were contacted. We had not discussed this for the record with our board of directors, or came up by our requesting that. Although the concept, as Mr. Fredericks pointed out, has been discussed for a number of years, primarily on the basis that it's very confusing to the layperson, if you will, of what a DRE is and what a contributing employer is. That's language that they're usually unfamiliar with. While we in the system work with it every day, those are common terms. Nobody else knows what that is generally. It's a term that evolved out of the 65 session in unique to Oregon, but nationally and also in a lot of other contexts, an insured employer and a self-insured employer are pretty explanatory. So it's been thinking for a long time that it would be so much simpler if the bill would speak to those so everybody knew what position they were in. Contributing an employer is a contribution, is a term left over from the commission days. We didn't talk about premiums, we talked about contributions. Again, a unique term that nobody's sure what that means. So we got a call from Mr. Montgomery as chairman of the task force in late November saying, why don't you just draft up a little bill and make those changes?
Do you object to making the changes or anything in this?
Not really. I objected at the time because it wasn't a little job. It was, and Mr. Maloney, who was here with us, chief counsel for a SAFE corporation, was charged with the responsibility then to draft this for the.
Can you tell us in what ways, if we accept the bill with basically what it's doing, that we'll change your operation?
There is no significant change in the operation at all. We've there is one, I think, probably distinctive change where you might say that there's actually a functional change that would occur that I think probably should be brought out. And up until the last session, SAFE mandatorily took all employers if they laid down the amount of money they needed to get into the system. And we could refuse resort anyway.
Sure.
The legislature at the last session created the assigned risk plan with the thought and with the direction that when you have a bad risk, if you will, one who doesn't follow practices or pay his bills, that they should be in the assigned risk so that everybody shares in those costs. We have no way or had no way to put anybody in the assigned risk plan. So this makes us, gives us the right to...
Same options others have.
Same options as everybody else has. Mm-hmm. Same. Keith, is there anything else that you can recall that's significant at all?
No, that's basically it. In order to eliminate these distinctions, there were a number of statutes that said, say, shall, and the DRE may, and those were all changed to may.
Chuck, I noticed in going through the bill, it does, like you say, bring the statutory reference pretty much consistent with what you've been doing and cleaning up terminology.
Yeah.
There is one question I have. That is on Section 11, and as it relates to the relating change of place and responsibility for payment of benefits. If Senate Bill 104 passes, how much different where the employer pays the or hand delivers the check for the first 4 week period or something? How much difference is that going to make other than what you're already doing?
I think it's in 104 that has a provision that the employer pay the
first 4 weeks.
First,
yeah, physically.
Physically.
First 4 weeks of temporary total disability.
Yeah. That particular section bothers me a little bit, getting every employer to do that. This has no real direct relationship to that.
No.
What it does do is the law did make the employer that is insured with a private carrier directly responsible for those payments. For all intents and purposes, however, when he buys insurance from an insurance carrier, the insurance carrier, like us, makes those payments in a timely manner according to the law. Senate Bill 104 requires that the employer physically make that first payment. That's very difficult. Make sure that it's made timely and that all employers understand what they're supposed to do and be able to pay the right amount and compute what he should get. I don't want to shoot. That's your bill. I have a real problem with that being done. However, there are a lot of employers, primarily the larger ones, who have a very active role in the return to work program and monitoring claims management that they actually do, and we give authorization to them to deliver those checks, and we monitor that. But they usually have a department that does that, and they have several people assigned, and they know how to do it. But when you're running a little operation where you're actively involved in it, whether it's a dry cleaning shop or a grocery store, you don't know really how to do that, and you don't have time to take off from the job and go deliver a check in a timely way. So,
do you even know what the check, the amount would be?
No, it'd be very hard, so there'd have to be a lot more communication, and then we would have to make doggone sure the check was, they really did it in the right amount.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to argue this issue at this
wanted to ask
but
that question.
That would make no difference. 104 does give the
some flexibility.
The charge.
That's still in 104, and we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Incidentally, if there's any confusion over any other bill, probably the time this was heard, particularly the people who walked into the committee late, thought we were talking about 128, I guess, which made some substantive changes, if I recall. This does not do that.
Okay, 128 is the major.
So divorce that, we kept any substantive changes out of
this is this sort of housekeeping.
Yes,
exactly.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing to do with that.
Mr. Fredericks, far away.
Okay, I think we've got the intent. You have a copy of our analysis, I believe.
Yeah.
the intent. Section 1 simply repeals 656411 and 656415, which are inconsistent with the basic concept of the bill. 411, for example, talks about qualifying as contributing employer. 415, the corporation for any statement of renewal fees and so forth, which have no part to do about this change in the terminology. Repeals ORS 656522, 524, and 824, which are, again, are unnecessary provisions relating to experience modification and rate making by SAFE. Repeals 656638, 432, 656648, which are no longer necessary either because the provisions authorize a single transaction not completed, they grant authority over never utilized, or they are just absolutely redundant. I might give you a copy, and I mark in yellow those particular sections for.
I'm going to ask Mr. Bria if he has questions or if he if to interrupt when you need to.
Okay.
If you feel free to do that.
Okay.
Okay, and the section, but those you can refer to specifically as far as the right section, those particular sections before you. Section 2 amends the definition section to make the definitions in it consistent with what we're talking about in the bill itself. Section 3 amends 656017 by requiring that the subject employers be either carrier insured or self-insured rather than contributing or direct responsible employer. That's consistent with what we're trying to do with the entire bill. Section 4 amends 656029 by requiring coverage for employees of contractors unless the contractor is, again, carrier insured or self-insured rather than a contributing or direct responsibility employer. Section 5 amends 656030 sub 3 to require payment of premiums or assessments rather than contributions by municipalities for selected volunteer personnel. Section 6 amends 656039 by deleting specific references to SAFE, the SAFE Corporation, and contributing employers and provisions that authorize the subject employers to elect coverage. Section 7, bottom of the same page, amends 656041 to delete the word contribution. Section 8 amends 656054 to substitute carrier insured employer for contributing employer. Section 9, bottom of page 6, amends 656128 by deleting specific references which distinguish between the SAFE Corporation and other guaranteed contract insurers. Makes the related changes of providing that coverage by SAFE of sole proprietors and partners is permissive rather than mandatory, consistent with similar provisions applicable to private carriers.
Okay, now that's the those people who SAFE may prefer not to carry are ones that will go to the assigned risk pool. So everybody's going to have some place to go where they can get some kind of carry.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, there's always a place for coverage.
Right.
No problem.
No problem with that. Okay.
Anything you want to?
No, that section only deals with the election for sole proprietors and partners, however.
Yeah, that's where they always already have coverage, and they want sole proprietors are not covered under the law.
Hmm.
And they can elect if they want to say, I want coverage, and which is fine. That's just an election process.
Section 10 over on page 7 amends 656140 by deleting the distinctions between the SAFE and other carriers with respect to providing elected coverage to persons or partners operating owned or leasehold equipment for hire, and then of course makes the related changes to making such coverage by SAFE permissive. Sections 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 amend ORS 656218. 656228, 656230, 656245, and 656254 by deleting references to SAFE and direct responsibility employers and substitute insurer and self-insured employer as appropriate, and makes the related change of placing responsibility for payment of benefits, certain notice requirements, and the provisions of medical care with the carrier, again consistent with the theme of the bill itself.
And then, peril going back in time, what was it, SIAC, the old SIAC,
SIAC
became SAFE.
Yeah. State Comm Department, then SAFE.
Now we're SAFE, going to SAFE Corporation.
Gone to
through all this gap and changing of names and statutes and trying to clean up this language, is there any potential here for losing someone in the crack somewhere along the line that we don't intentionally mean to drop them, but because of references, or is there any potential for that?
No, I'm not aware of any. I don't know how we could by changing just the reference to whether it's a contributing employer or an insured employer. So, no, I really don't see.
Well, the reason
that
I ask is that if we've been talking about this asbestosis and stuff like this that has gone on for years. Well, now, those things were covered years ago when you had the old SIAC and then
yes.
the SAFE, and now
yes.
here we are, SAFE Corporation.
Yeah.
Is there going to be that assurance that those people are going to be covered? That's my concern.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's all I want to know.
If,
I just
if they were
sure
covered, you know, 20 years ago, SAFE, SCD, SAFE Corporation, continues that liability regardless of name change.
Okay, I just want to make sure that in the names and changing here and shifting that
we're not
losing somebody.
No.
Matter of fact, I think you folks picked up a 40-year-old case, the classic.
Unfortunately, that's true.
From old SIAC days, 1937.
One of those,
yeah.
So. Now, when you, one of the persons talked to me about when you shifted from SIAC to whatever the next name was,
yeah.
that there was something like $40 million or so that came with SIAC in to cover the claims.
Yes.
yes.
Yeah. We assumed the liability, and along with that, we assumed the reserves that were there,
right.
which were wholly inadequate, I might point
wholly
out.
Wholly inadequate? Are they really?
Yeah.
One of the arguments being that that's one of the reasons why you can assume the responsibility for asbestosis is because you've got all this money.
Yeah.
money.
I like
rather than putting it on the general fund.
Oh, I see. I wish so. I would have glad to make the trade. got nothing and gave the liability to somebody else.
Far away.
Thank you. Very good question. Section 16 amends, page 9, amends 656262 again by deleting specific references to the SAFE Corporation and contributing employers, and makes the related changes by placing claims processing, benefit payment, notice responsibility with the carrier.
Carl, I have a question there. Currently, who is responsibility for the privately insured employer processing of claims?
Well, under the term direct responsibility, technically, it's the employer. That's the term then.
Okay, under this would change this to the insurer?
Yeah, right.
So this is
the employer never, in fact, did it.
Never,
and you can understand why. He never really knew what to do. That's why he bought insurance, and so the insurance did that for him and has continued to do that for him. But it was put in the law kind of as a slap back. I think labor put that in and want to make sure that we can't trust those carriers coming in the state. So if anything goes wrong, we're going to make a direct responsibility employer. If anything goes wrong, the employer is going to be responsible.
Okay, so that is a minor change.
That's really, it really is.
Do you see any problem
no,
with that change?
No problem.
Okay.
Section 17, which is over on page 10, I guess.
Yes.
Amends 656264 by deleting reference to the SAFE Corporation, substituting self-insured where appropriate. Section 18 amends 656265 by deleting references to the SAFE Corporation and direct responsibility employers and substituting insurer or self-insured employer as appropriate. Section 19 on page 11 amends 656268 to delete specific references to SAFE and direct responsibility employers, makes the related change of placing certain benefit payment responsibilities with the carrier, and retains in 656268(7) sub 7 certain distinctions concerning the establishment of reserves and review by the Workers' Compensation Department director.
Are these changes new? Certain benefits with the carrier, is that new?
Yeah, it's the same concept, however. You know, the carrier does it now, but the law would provide the direct responsibility employer or SAFE does something. This way it simply says the insured employer, insurance carrier, or the self-insured employer shall do it.
Oh, I see.
So these are, there's a number of those minor changes throughout the bill, Senator.
Okay.
Carl, can you explain why, just for the record, why you're getting rid of the contributing employer's award reserve? That's part of Section 19, I believe. Well, you're changing the name of certain reserves, and for the record, you just tell us why.
Under the old commission days, we would set up legislatively within the reserve names, and when the law changed, we changed the reserve names to the contributing employer awards reserve. It's really redundant. Since that time, we came under the insurance commissioner. The legislature has put us under the insurance commissioner. Our reserves are set up in the industrial accident fund, which is left in here, and we use terms now in-house that are common in the insurance practice, and he does audit us for those reserves. So it's really kind of redundant to have these in here, and they're terms not common to the insurance industry. So he requires us to provide certain reserves for liabilities, and it's just a term that's no longer needed. If you got a monopoly system and you're not under the insurance commissioner, you probably want to have something in here to say what the reserves are. But we are under the insurance code now.
And so he sets the reserves.
Yes, he tells us exactly what to put in there.
Have the amount of reserves changed since you've been under the insurance?
Oh, yes.
Less or more?
Primarily more.
Primarily more.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. 820, Section 20 on page 13, amends 656273 by deleting specific references to SAFE and the direct responsibility employers, and makes the related change of placing certain claims process and responsibility with a carrier. Again, the same thing we were talking about previously. Sections 21 and 22. Amend ORS 656310 and 313 by deleting specific directions of the SAFE Corporation, substitute the word insurer or self-insured as appropriate. Section 23 on page 15, amend 656325 by deleting specific references to SAFE Corporation and direct responsibility employers, and substituting the insurer or self-insured. And then again makes the related changes of permitting insurers to request medical examination. Sections 24 at the bottom of page 15 and 25 on page 16. Amend 656382 and 386 by deleting specific references to the SAFE Corporation and direct responsibility employers, and again substituting the terms insured and self-insured employer as appropriate, and makes the related change of placing responsibility for attorney fees with a carrier in some instances. And then on middle of page 16, sections 26, amends 656403 by deleting references to direct responsibility employers and making the statute applicable to self-insured employers only. Section 27, bottom of the page, amends 656407 by deleting references to direct responsibility employers and making the statute applicable to all employers. Section 28 amends
Senator, go ahead.
Section 27, does that have any effect of narrowing down who would qualify as a self-insurer?
No.
The deletion of that language? On lines 33, 34,
yeah,
and 35, section 27 on page 16.
The language that's deleted by?
Yeah.
The director, as a matter of fact, again, that's redundant, sets down the qualifications to become director of the Workers' Compensation Department, sets down the qualifications to become a self-insured employer.
So you just eliminated out of the SAFE statutes?
Yeah, yeah, that's really kind of redundant there. You say that the employer shall establish proof to the director that the employer is qualified either as a guarantee insurer or which is an insured employer, or that he can be self-insured.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're not
eliminating
something that will prevent, say, two or three employers from gathering together to become self-insured.
No,
we're giving authorization elsewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, in section, you'll see in subsection 2 of that section is the, for a self-insured employer, he has to do some things to make him qualify.
Okay. Plus more elaborate qualifications under another section.
Yes.
Safe Corporation, again, is permissive. Section 29 amends, that's over on one. Well, that's at the top of, yeah, it must be at the top of page 18. Amends 423 by deleting specific references, again, to the Safe Corporation. Section 30 amends 656427 by deleting distinctions and references applicable to SAFE, makes a related change of authorized permissive termination of coverage by SAFE, again consistent with other carriers. Section 31, bottom of the page, amends 656443 by deleting references to direct responsibility of employers and substituting references to an employer. Section 32, page 19, amends section 65644, or Oregon revised that 656451 by deleting references again to the Safe Corporation. Section 33 amends 656504 to delete references to contributions, contributing employers, and substitutes premiums in defining payment for employers insured by Safe Corporation. Section 34 on the next page, page 20. Amends 656505 by substituting premiums and assessments for the old term of contributions throughout the statute.
Can we go back to section 32 again?
Okay.
By deleting SAFE and saying an insurer that issues, seems to widen it, doesn't it, to other insurers?
Other insurers are those who issue guarantee contracts,
mm-hmm.
and we do also.
Mm-hmm.
It's just eliminating, saying the Safe Corporation and any, the old language says Safe,
and any
insurer who issuing a guarantee contract. And so we all issue guarantee contracts.
Okay.
So it just eliminates the distinction and just says an insurer, which includes us. And
which is what you've done, you've lumped them as insurers.
As insurers.
So you won't need to. Section 35, again, substituting premium rates for rates for contribution in 656508. Sections 36, 37, 38, 39.
Carl, can I interrupt you for a second? Going back to section 35, can you explain to me why you're deleting subsection 2? Subsection 2. A corresponding change to repealing the rate making?
Well, that particular section only pertained to the State Accident Insurance Fund, didn't it?
Yeah.
So if we're.
Yeah, that had to do with our rate making process. Since we don't make the rates, it's basically.
That's right.
Not needed.
Right.
Yeah.
Could I take you back to section 32 just for a second? I had a little note in my bill that we've got an extra the on line 11.
Oh,
took care of it.
Yeah, oh,
I didn't realize.
That's right. I got it scratched out and everything.
Yeah, I wasn't there in the minute.
That's the one big amendment we've made in this bill so far.
A couple.
Okay, sections 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, and 41, which extend over into page 22. Amend 656, 526, 552, 556, 560, 562, and 566. Again, by deleting references to contributing employers and contributions, and again substituting carrier insured employers, employers insured with the Safe Corporation, and again using the term premiums and assessments wherever it's appropriate in those particular sections. Section 42 on page 23 amends 656 576 to delete specific references to SAFE and substitute insurer and self-insured employer in the definition of paying agencies.
If we go to group self-insured, is self-insured enough?
Yes, I think so. That'll be grouped under the definition schedule if you go to group self-insurance, so that would include the self.
Take care of it, right?
Yes.
Sure, come on up.
He knows what I'm going to say.
Fine, Evelyn.
Before
Evelyn.
I get into that, I just, excuse me, my name is Evelyn Ferris, representing the Oregon Workers' Compensation Federation. Before I get into that one, just briefly, I did want to clarify something on page 18, line 13. There is a slight change there. And it isn't that we have any objection to it, but I think it should be called to the committee's attention.
18, line 13.
Yeah, where
okay.
It says an insurer that issues a guarantee contract or surety bond to an employer under this chapter may terminate liability. Prior to that, as you will notice from the stricken language, that the contributing employer or SAFE could only cancel out the contributing employer for failure of required contribution, fees, premiums, deposits, and so forth. So it is a change. We don't have any objection to it, but I thought that you should perhaps look at that.
Any comments on that, either of you? No?
No.
No. Any objections to it?
No.
No. No. All right. Fine.
Okay, on this section 59, as Mr. McGavick has stated, in both House Bills 104, and I mean Senate Bill 104 and House Bill 2600, this has been changed to shall be a member. We think that it should be changed to shall be a member in Senate Bill 324. The reason that we feel that way and have felt this way for some time is right now it is at SAFE's election. SAFE has elected to be a member of the rating organization, but by being a voluntary member of the rating organization, they are not bound by the rules and regulations of the rating organization. Now, SAFE will state that it's their very reason that they want to be optional as being a member of the rating organization. But it is the position of the people that I represent that those rules and regulations are there for very good, sound insurance principles. And that if we were talking about parity earlier, if the private insurers are bound by these rules and regulations, we feel that SAFE should be too. And regardless of whether 104 or 2600 passes, we think this is something that was long overdue in the law and should be considered. I know it's a substantive change. It may be that the committee does not want to get into a substantive change like that right now, but nonetheless, it is here. I would remind the committee that, you know, right now, SAFE is sitting in a very nice position financially, but a few years ago, they were not in as good a position financially. Perhaps if they had to adhere to the rules that we have had to adhere to, that might be different, too.
You think they have a competitive advantage? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we do. Definitely.
Okay, that's being taken care of, obviously, in the other two bills if those bills pass or if those provisions stay in the bills.
Okay.
But that's based on whether file and use is adopted.
That's
right?
Correct.
If file and use is not adopted, then you would like to see the status changed anyway.
I would.
Right. Mr. McGill, what about that? Never surrender a competitive advantage.
No, no, sir. This has been a probably one of the main, I guess it's come up every session since the law was enacted. And you want to understand, first of all, what you're talking about, the rules. We do belong to the Rating Bureau. We do pay more than any other insurer, and probably more than all of them collected, to run the rating system. The rules are set down by the insurance company. It's their rules. They can change them, and they have consistently changed them to go along with some of the rules that we've established.
Why, if you're such a contributor, do they set the rules?
It's their organization. And,
well, if you become one and a big shot in it, won't you help to set
the rules? We're not allowed on the rules committee.
Ah.
Rules are set down in New York, and then they're adopted at the local level. We have sat at the local level where we've been allowed to change the rules. Some of the rules have been changed at the local level. They are approved by the insurance commissioner, I guess that's, but we're not allowed on the rules committee of the National Association. Now, we abide by almost every single rule in the book except a few, which we file on those rule deviations. We don't mind if the legislature wants us to be a member, we will, but I think what we have to understand, won't get into all the details now, how that impacts the Oregon employer, and primarily the small employer. And
how does that impact? Just briefly.
Minimum premiums, for instance. They have a minimum premium rule, a national rule, which is different than a local rule, but a local rule different than SAFE's corporation rule. We don't charge a minimum premium. Minimum premium is charged.
Up the cost, is what you're saying.
About $250 for an employer. Minimum deposit also required.
You require?
No. On some accounts we require, but not a minimum deposit. Their minimum deposit is required based upon how you report. If you report monthly, so much is required. If you report annually, so much is required. We require the National Council rule of $60 now. We just went along with them on that. A lot of the legislators got a lot of complaint about us going to $60 charging. In fact, there was a remonstrance on the floor of the House that we had to respond to because we charged $60. Some of those things are probably kind of traumatic to do to some of the Oregon employers. But if they want us to abide by those rules, we will. Those are the kind of things we have deviated. One of the reasons we've deviated because we've tried to leave in the Oregon employer's hands as much cash as possible. And so we've operated for years that way, like that. I'm not saying that's probably good for the insurance industry, but it isn't bad for the Oregon employer.
Mr. McGavin.
Chairman, I think it's more appropriate, I'd like to correct the record, pursuant to comp law and insurance code, that the State Accident Insurance Fund, being a member of the National Council on Compensation Insurance, the licensed rating organization in this state, and has chaired it several times, but most importantly, not only being a member, it's a member of the Oregon Classification Rating Committee, the autonomous committee of the licensed rating organization that has the power to address all pricing concerns, rate making, premium concerns in this state, and has. It has overrided the rules committee of the New York Home Office. It tells the president of the National Council just what to do. SAFE has the power through the Oregon Classification Rating Committee meeting every other month to handle not only the grievances of Oregon employers, but to carve out new rules, and has. And I think it's been marvelous that the private sector and SAFE have been forced together, competitively healthy, which is for the benefit of the Oregon employer. But the point is, to correct the record, they do, SAFE has the power to influence and correct any of the rules regarding the development of premium, the
I respect all of you bringing us this little controversy, but since the bill maintains the status quo, why don't we keep the status quo in the bill and not fool with the controversy? If you want to bring that controversy in the form of another bill, a file in use doesn't go through this time, then I think we'll deal with it, and I think we'd spend some time on it, because I think you've got at least a legitimate complaint that should be aired, and maybe a new bill would be the vehicle to do that, but not to cloud this one up.
Senator, I wasn't sure I was going to do it, but when I kept hearing these things about parity, that did it.
That did it. All right. Thank you, Evelyn. We appreciate it. Okay. Anything else? Now, we've already talked about your amendment, and nobody objects to the small amendment that you want, so we're going to direct staff to draw that amendment up so that we can consider it. Were there any other amendments, Mr. Berea, that we need to draw up? So we've gone through the bill. I think we have a subcommittee pretty much ready to recommend to the full committee the bill with that small amendment. Is there any objection to that from all of you folks? You don't vote anyway. The meeting's adjourned.